It's always a joy and a blessing for me to celebrate this Eucharist with you. Because I live here, it's the only place that I can come downstairs and say Mass and not get in a cold car and drive somewhere. So for me, it's a blessing. All of you had to come from somewhere else. Just got back from Rome on Monday night. I was there for the Ad Limina and also for the consistory raising Archbishop Dolan to being cardinal. And it was wonderful, but it was a long time, so it's great to be home. After 2 weeks of pasta, Lent came at just the right moment for me, so it's great to be back here. On Wednesday, we heard those challenging words, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. Or perhaps we heard the words, dust you are and to dust you shall return. Either way, Lent, Ash Wednesday, the season, is meant to shake us up, to shake us out of our complacency, to bring us face to face with the great drama of grace and sin in our lives. And so we see in our lives and in the life of the world on full display the struggle between sin and grace, the struggle between God and the devil, the struggle within our own heart of conversion. It's what this season is about. It's what our life is about. And I was thinking, who is the best person that I could think of off the top of my head that exemplifies that dramatic movement from sin to grace? That movement from being turned in on oneself, as St. Augustine defines sin, to being open to the freedom of God, which is grace at work within us. And surprisingly, the first person that came to my mind was Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. And I was thinking, maybe it's not the right title. Maybe more than A Christmas Carol, it should be A Lenten Carol. Because the conversion of Ebenezer Scrooge exemplifies for us what this season of Lent is all about. When you think about it, he starts out at the beginning of the tale completely turned in on himself. His world is no larger than his counting house and his boarding house. And it's between those two poles that he moves, and he shut God and every other person out of his life. And like the eruption of grace, Jacob Marley breaks into his locked door and speaks a word of life to him, speaks a word of challenge to him, speaks conversion to him, and tells him he's going to be visited by three spirits who will change his life. And it's the ghost of Christmas past that tells Ebenezer that his life began with promise. And he sees in living color both the joy and the sorrow of his past life. But he also sees at the precise moment when he turned from being in relationship with others to worship the God of greed, to worship the God of self. And he's moved to tears. And then the ghost of Christmas present comes to him and says to him, everyone else in this world is in relationship with others, and here he is standing alone. And he overhears conversations that make him realize that he has hurt others, that he has shut his life off from other people. And then the chilling ghost of Christmas future comes and speaks to him of this lonely, unmourned death that he will embrace unless he changes his life. And the next morning he wakes up and he's a completely different person because he realizes the mistakes that he's made. He realizes that he's lived his life shut in on himself, and he realizes that he needs to open himself both to God and others. A tale of conversion that inspires us every Christmas. In this season of Lent, then, we're asked to look deeply within ourselves, just as Scrooge did on that Christmas Eve night, and just as Jesus Christ did when the Spirit drove him into the desert, to come face to face with our own temptations, to come face to face with our own weakness, and to acknowledge the fact that we have strayed from the path of God, that like every other person on earth, in one way or another, we have shut ourselves off from God and from others, and that we need grace to break into our life and turn us around. And so God gives us this beautiful season of Lent to open ourselves to God, others, and our truest and deepest self. And so the three traditional practices of Lent speak to that opening. Prayer opens us to God. And so often, I'm tempted to just make prayer another activity of the day. I'm tempted to check it off my list with the 17 other things I have to do today. But this season reminds us that the only reason we get up in the morning is to pray. That somehow prayer has to be more than just another activity. It has to be the frame around the picture of today. That we get up in the morning, we live and breathe to be in relationship with God. Almsgiving opens my heart and my life to the needs of others, to the poor and the sick and the needy. But realizing that perhaps the poorest person is someone I live with, or someone I work with, or someone that lives next door to me. The season calls me out of my self-preoccupation to give my life to the needs of others in a sacrificial way, in a way that costs me something. And then fasting, whatever form it takes. For me, it always takes giving up caffeine and sweets. And I always go cold turkey on coffee, so today's the first day I feel like a human being because I go through so much caffeine withdrawal. And I can ask myself, does God really care whether I give up coffee or not? Maybe the answer is no. But every time I struggle with it, every time I want a cup of coffee, every time I'm drawn to caffeine, it reminds me of God. It reminds me that only God can satisfy my heart. That so often I'm tempted to pleasures or distractions or relationships without God at the center. And so to fast, to deny ourselves, to embrace some form of penance is a great discipline because it purifies our heart and it refocuses us on God as our only good, as the center of life. And when we put God at the center, then everything else flows beautifully around it. In the season of Lent, then, God calls us, like Ebenezer Scrooge, calls us in the middle of the night, calls us in the stirrings of our heart, calls us in the realization that we're not fully the person that God wants us to be, and he gives us another chance. Gives us another chance to become the saint that he has called us to be. And so the Lord calls us to a radical holiness, and to be holy is simply to be like God. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for holy means different. So when the Jewish people called God holy, what they were saying is, God is God and we are not him. God is radically other, even though he has identified himself with us. So we are called to be that difference and to make that difference that God has planted in our hearts. And who knows, maybe when we come to the end of our life and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord is going to say to us, you know, it was that Lent of 2012 when you really started turning it around. You're standing here in grace and salvation because in 2012, you finally got it. You finally understood it. You finally let grace take completely control of your life and of your heart. The second reading for Ash Wednesday, St. Paul said, the time for conversion is now. The day of salvation is here. Not next year, not last year, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right here and right now. What a joy it is for us to celebrate this Eucharist in which God's grace is fully abundant in this gathering and in this holy place. And as once again the Lord comes down upon our altar in the form of his body and blood, we realize in the depth of our soul the immensity of his love for us, the immensity of his desire to be in relationship with us, all begun in baptism and all prefigured in the great miracle of Noah being saved and the rainbow appearing in the sky as a symbol of God's grace that will never fail and which reaches its fulfillment in the cross of Jesus Christ. Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's in those statements that the church calls us to conversion, but also gives us a radical hope because Jesus faced every temptation that we faced and yet remained true. And so no matter what sin or weakness we encounter, He is there to understand us, to forgive us, and to lift us up. These next few weeks are the great drama of our lives, the drama of grace and sin. May grace win in our heart, and may sin be defeated as we turn our life over to Jesus in an ever more radical and profound way.